can't do that. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Praise God, let us pray. Father God, we worship you. You are the true and living God. You are the definition of truth. All truth comes from you. You explain to us what truth is. Help us this afternoon to understand what your truth is. Reveal your word to us, Lord, that we may have a sure foundation in our hearts, that we may be founded upon the rock which is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Been talking about the covenants of God. And we started talking about the blessing of Abraham and to whom were the promises made. And I think I showed last session that the promises were made specifically to the seed, which was Christ. And anyone who walks with Christ or is clothed with Christ also becomes an heir together with him. Now this time I want to look at what are the blessings of Abraham. It's very easy to talk about the blessings of Abraham. But do we know what those blessings actually were? And how are they fulfilled in Israel and ultimately in the church? In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I went to Bible school many years ago. It was a Faith Prosperity Bible School. I now disagree with almost everything I was taught there. But when I was at this Bible school, I was told that the blessing of Abraham was listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Anyone know what Deuteronomy 28 says? You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. You will be the head, not the tail. And we were told in this Bible school that we need to claim these blessings. Every morning I need to get up and I need to quote these blessings over my life. And this was the blessing of Abraham, they told me. And if I wanted to make it real in my life, I had to confess it every morning before I got up. So of course some mornings I might forget. And then something bad happens. I think, oh, I didn't confess my positive confessions. The blessing of Abraham is no longer upon me. And I remember reading at the time this verse in Galatians I just read. And I remember being quite disappointed. Because the Apostle Paul seemed only to link the blessing of Abraham with receiving of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, that you shall receive the Spirit. That was the blessing of Abraham. And I thought, what about all the material blessings? What about being blessed when I come in and blessed when I go out? This seems quite small. It's nice that God gives me His Holy Spirit. But I was quite disappointed. I think that just shows how carnal I was at the time. I thought I was a great minister of the gospel, but actually I was just following the doctrines of men. So does Deuteronomy 28 actually lay out for us what the blessing of Abraham actually is? No, it does not. Let's read in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 6. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today. So it's talking to those people who are doing the law of Moses. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the offspring of your beasts, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed are you when you come in and when you go out. Who were these blessings spoken to when they were spoken? Bear in mind, there were not just blessings, there were also curses as well. Were they spoken to the church? Who were they spoken to? Moses. Moses, once he had received the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. And then through Moses to the Jewish nation. Once he had given them the law to obey. These blessings and curses that I've just, or the blessings I've just spoken about now, have nothing at all to do with the blessing of Abraham. Bear in mind, Abraham died hundreds of years before these blessings were ever spoken. How can they be a part of the blessing of Abraham when Abraham had been dead for hundreds of years? Also, the blessing of Abraham contained no curse. They were only a blessing for the children of Israel. But these blessings were also curses. And the curses were twice as long as the blessings. Because God knew that the children of Israel would not keep the law of Moses. So He wanted them to know what curses would come upon them if they disobeyed the law of Moses. Why did the blessing of Abraham not contain a curse? Because you didn't have to keep a legalistic law in order to be blessed with the blessing of Abraham. All you had to be was in covenant relationship with God. A covenant you could not buy into or earn. A covenant that it could only be accessed by faith in God alone. Genesis 15:6. It says that he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. The blessings and curses pronounced in Deuteronomy 28 are only valid over those who try and live their lives according to the law of Moses. If you're trying to live under the law of Moses, these are the blessings and curses that will apply to you. But are we under the law of Moses now? No, we are not. The law of Moses has now become obsolete and will be replaced by the new covenant. Should we not, some people would say, should we not try and focus on these blessings and try and make them appear in our lives? Shouldn't we try and claim them anyway? Well, only if you're trying to live under the law of Moses you should. But that's a covenant that will lead to death. And that's a covenant that will make, that will condemn you and not bless you. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed. We can see from this that God desires to bless us. But it is wrong to try to claim these blessings as if they are a part of the Christian's inheritance in Christ. They are not the inheritance in Christ. The blessing of Abraham contains no curse to its beneficiaries. It is yet another example of grace in action. It is freely given to those who are of the same faith that Abraham had and walked in. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The blessing of Abraham is far, far superior to the blessings given in Deuteronomy 28. So what were the original blessings given to Abraham? Genesis 12:2-3. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Then later in Genesis 15:18, to your seed I have given this land. From the river of Egypt, the Nile, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And then two chapters later in Genesis 17:2-8, he says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Not just one nation, a multitude of nations. Even the Ugandans, the Americans, the English, we're all children of Abraham, aren't we? It's a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you, and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As we have already seen, the physical blessings of Abraham have come to the nation of Israel for now. That's a temporary situation until the return of Christ. But because they are his physical descendants, they are inheritors of the physical promises. This is for the purpose of serving as a type and a shadow for us. A type and a shadow of the ultimate fulfillment of the blessings of Christ. Given to the Holy Church, both Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. At Christ's coming. It is clear throughout history that the nation of Israel has become a great nation, comparable to its size. It has been a blessing throughout the earth. And the nation of Israel today has much influence. The world has benefited enormously from the efforts and influence of Jewish people. In science, in medicine, technology, industry, trade, finance, politics, government, the arts, the law, not to mention the influence they've had on religion and morality. We wouldn't have our Bible if it wasn't for the Jews. Every author was a Jew. Bearing in mind Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were all Jews. Joseph, Moses, King David, Solomon. Jesus was a Jew. All the apostles were Jews. The early church was all Jewish. As the Apostle Paul put it so succinctly, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all the nations will be blessed in you. And physically we can see that today. The Jewish nation has been a blessing to many nations throughout the world. And those who have tended to bless the Jewish nation have often been blessed themselves, whilst those who have cursed them have often been cursed themselves. Where is Assyria today? Where are the Philistines today? Where is Babylon today? Where is Nazi Germany today? The Nazis. And through Joshua, who is a type of Jesus, the Jewish nation took the land of Canaan, and in which Abraham lived as an alien, as a foreigner. So in some small part they took possession of the land. And a whole line of kings came from Abraham. Remember, God promised him, kings shall come from you. Starting with King Saul, King David. All the way through to King Zedekiah at the exile. He was the last true king of David's line until the coming of Jesus. And Jesus revealed himself to the Jewish nation and allowed himself to be worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem. God became the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But how are the blessings of Abraham ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ? God said he would establish his covenant between himself and Abraham, his seed. I will establish my covenant between you and between me. When did that happen? When Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. And the blood of the covenant was spilt. That was the time God established his covenant. He gave the covenant to Abraham thousands of years before. But the covenant became established on Golgotha 2,000 years ago. The way of faith was opened up so that normal people like you and I could become a true heir of God and an heir of the true blessing of Abraham that far outweighs any of the physical blessings seen on the face of Israel. When we first come to faith in Christ, we get a small foretaste of our coming inheritance when we first receive the Spirit. When you become a believer, you need to receive the Spirit. Be baptized in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be empowered for work. This is not the fullness of the blessing, this is a foretaste. And your life should then be filled with the glory of God as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that is at work in you. And though people cannot see it from the outside, yet a light is shining on the inside. And every true believer is supposed to have joy unspeakable inside of them. This should be the characteristic of a true believer. Unfortunately, often it is not, but it should be. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But this is just a foretaste of what is to come. Romans 8:23 says this. We ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. I'm looking forward to that day. You see, the full blessing of Abraham is only realized or seen at the resurrection. When those who are Christ at his return are raised from the dead and given immortal, spiritual, glorified bodies. Hallelujah. This is why the resurrection is so important to the believer. Why this is the event we're supposed to be looking forward to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to chapter 5, verse 5. Says, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, Yet our inner man, an inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing in us a weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Whilst we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from on heaven. Insomuch as when we have put it on, we will not be found naked. Indeed, whilst we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. What you have of the Spirit in your life right now is not the fullness of what you will receive. The Bible talks about the Spirit being poured out upon from on high. It talks about an early rain and the latter rains. The early rains were at Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams. But the latter rain is the bigger one. That happens at the end of the age. When Jesus returns, he pours out the Spirit. And if you are dead, your body is resting in the grave at that time, the Spirit will come upon your body and your flesh will be changed. The ashes and the bone and what's left of you will be changed, and what is mortal will become immortal, and you will be changed, and you were sown a perishable body, but you will be raised imperishable. You were put in the ground in weakness, but you will be raised in power and strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. At the resurrection of God, the blessing of Abraham will come upon full measure upon those who are Christ's. And because his name is great, so will our name be, because we are in him. And the blessing we will experience then will dwarf anything previously known. So many people today get excited about football matches, or pop stars, or being popular. This is nothing compared to that day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, talking about the law of Moses, Paul says, what had glory has now no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. What used to have glory, the law of Moses, now has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. In other words, the new covenant is so much greater, so much more glorious, it eclipses the old glory which was under the covenant of Moses. See, under the covenant of Moses, Moses' face shone, didn't it? It shone with the glory of God. But he had to put a veil over his face. Because the people were afraid of the presence of God. But now it's not just Moses anymore. Now it's all of us as well. We all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord. Remember when Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James and John? Who appeared with him in glory? Moses and Elijah. Moses, a man who was faithful to God when he died. Elijah, a man of God who was taken as faithful, raptured. But how did they appear? Same as Jesus. One day we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Do you understand the enormity of that word I just said? We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Anyone who saw the resurrected Jesus fell flat on their face. The Apostle John, who spent 3 years with Jesus, he was the beloved disciple, he knew Jesus. But on the Isle of Patmos, he had a vision. And he saw the Son of Man. And he fell on his face as though dead. The glory which is so overwhelming. One day we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. At the moment, people cannot see that treasure. It's a work that's going on inside our hearts. But one day when we put off this old flesh, when we put off the earthen vessel, we will shine with the glory of God himself. And we will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. We will be vessels of glory. And the Bible says we will be partakers of the divine nature. Remember when Satan tempted Eve in the garden? He said, you can be like God. In a sense, he was not lying when he said that. He only lied by telling her the wrong way to do it. He lied to her by telling her eat of the forbidden fruit. But it's been God's plan all along to form a man in his own image and glory. To be like God himself. Not that we are God, but that we are found in him. When Jesus returns, we will be like God himself. Because we are found in him who is a part of the Godhead. We are in Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We will become partakers of the divine nature. Again, that doesn't make us God, of course. But we will be joined to him. As a wife is joined to her husband and they become one. The Apostle Paul said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. What I am speaking is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. Amen? Amen. When you joined to your wife, did you become one flesh? Everything that the husband has, the wife now has. What does Jesus Christ have? He has everything. He inherits everything. But if you're joined to Him, you also have everything also. You become a fellow heir with Him. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 11. One of the seven angels with the seven bowls said, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like that of a costly stone, as a stone of clear-cut jasper. That's going to be you and me. That's your inheritance. That's the blessing of Abraham. Not just some measly lands and cars and bicycles. Not money in the bank. And you will be like God Himself. You will be joined to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will be immortal. You will be a whole new species of being. You will be a being of power. You will rule and reign over nations. You will be like the star shining in the expanse of space, shining with the glory of God. This is the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. That's a real blessing. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we will be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Praise the Lord. I'm going to finish there, and we'll go on to the next session pretty soon. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of Abraham. Thank you, Lord, that we have such a hope and a future. Thank you, Lord, that death is not the end. But for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Help us to be like Paul, who is wanting to die and be like we be with you. Help us to have such a mentality, Father. Help us to realize the inheritance that you have reserved in heaven for us. Help us to be thankful for the riches of your grace you have given to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.